Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. It's Keith McPherson on the fan. 1019 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Rain out radio switcheroo. Another 5 hour KM to AM. Bless it, man. I was kind of planning on it, banking on it, hoping for it. I think last night someone called and said, Keith, what games are you going to this week? And I elaborated on how I don't want to drive up to the Bronx because I'm on standby. You know, shout out to Steve Summers. I know he was always on standby. When you do the night shift, it's like, if you go all the way to the Bronx anticipating a game and they postpone the game, then you got to drive down here, do the show, whatever. I kind of was anticipating it. And I said on Twitter, it's great to get on air while the sun is up, and it's great to get to go home and sleep for 5 hours until my son wakes up. 888-808-1019. I'll take it every time. 7 p.m. start, 12 a.m. finish, and plenty to talk about. I scrambled to book guests. I'm blessed that I have connections and friends that will last minute come on my show. Hey, we're rained out. No Yankee game. Come on the fan, talk sports with me. We have a couple surprises, a couple scheduled ones, but there will be guests throughout every hour. But really, I want to talk to you. 888-808-1019. And I get it. We're going to talk about Malik Nabers. We're going to talk about the Giants practices. But we did that yesterday, right? I said, like, it's good to see that they're fighting. It's good to see, you know, fighting is not good, but it's good to see some fight in them. They're not getting punked. Last year, they were not ready for the smoke that was the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are one of the better teams in the NFC. They come to your facility. You can't let them walk all over you, especially if you're a rookie. So I know we're going to talk about Malik Nabers. Danny and Paramus is already on hold to talk about Malik Nabers. But I feel like we haven't been doing enough conversation around the J-E-T-S. Jets. 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 And today was a day where I actually had a thought about the Jets starting 5-0. Yes, follow me for a second here. There's trouble in paradise. Not all good with the Niners. You just heard Rich Ackerman on the update talk about, you know, it's a month until week one. That time is going to smoke by. That time is going to pass quickly. And there's a lot of interesting things coming out of San Fran. Brandon Ayuk, we know he wants out. We knew that last year. We knew that after the Super Bowl, his girlfriend was going on IG like, last time you see us around here. Three catches. First off, let me say this about Brandon Ayuk. I don't think he's a number one wide receiver. I think he's a good wide receiver in Kyle Shanahan's offense, which also has Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. Oh, CMC, Christian McCaffrey is hurt. A McCaffrey strain. He has a calf strain. They're saying he's going to miss some time. Okay, follow me here. If that guy's not ready to go, that is the offensive player of the year. That's their main guy on offense. They can throw him the ball. They can hand him the ball. He can get a first down. He can hit a home run. Jets defense, who do you got to lock in on? If Brandon Ayuk, which I guess I didn't say this, Brandon Ayuk is going to be traded. Christian McCaffrey was in an interview today, and he said, my former teammate, almost like a Freudian slip, my former teammate or any teammate, he tried to fix it by saying they're going to trade him. There's rumors that the Steelers are interested. There's rumors that New England is very interested, but he didn't want to go there and sign an extension. Whatever. You haven't seen him practicing with them. We're now a few weeks into camp. You haven't seen him in a helmet and shoulder pads. The guy wants out. He's over it. He's done being the fourth option on that offense. 888-808-1019. Jets fans, pay close attention to Rob Saleh's former team. Oh, that's right. Rob Saleh came from over there. I'm sure he knows a couple things, a couple people from over there. He should have some intel at the least. Rob, not sure what you're great at, but like, I would hope you have a little bit of an edge against your former team. And does Aaron Rodgers still resent them? That was his team growing up. That's the team that Aaron Rodgers rooted for as a kid, right? And they drafted Alex Smith. And then on draft night, the chip on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder grew to the size that it is today. Does he still have a bone to pick with them? He should, from all the playoff exits they handed him. He should be super fired up to return to the NFL after only playing four plays last year and go beat the San Francisco 49ers. What's up with Trent Williams? Trent Williams, he's got some issues. He's holding out. These guys want their money, can't pay everybody. Pretty soon they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy, I saw, is hitting the gym. Yeah, Breece Hall's former teammate at Iowa State. They're very competitive. These guys play Call of Duty against each other and stuff. I'm sure Breece Hall is going to want to beat Brock Purdy in that game. I expect him to have a good game. Week one last year, he burst on the scene looking like he didn't tear his ACL at all. But yeah, I noticed a buff little Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy to me just looks like he's out of High School Musical. He looks like he'd straight out of a Disney movie, but he put on some bulk, some weight. Yeah, you better get those arms ready, because if Hassan Reddick is ready, if he shows up, if the Jets figure all that out, I think we all remember that NFC Championship game 2 years ago where Hassan Reddick literally snapped this kid's arm and sent the Eagles to the Super Bowl. 888-808-1019. If you're a Jets fan, you should be thinking about Aaron Rodgers playing week one, not for one snap in the preseason. For what? For why? Last year wasn't traumatic enough. Week one is the preseason. I've been saying that on The Fan for 3 years. You should know. Week one and two are preseason in the NFL because guys don't play. So week one being preseason, any given Sunday, anything can happen, especially that first Sunday. If the Jets are able to go on the road and beat the San Francisco 49ers, who they got to have a Super Bowl hangover, man. Twice in the last few years, they've gone to the Super Bowl and lost to Patrick Mahomes. Now guys want out. Now guys are holding out. Brock Purdy showed he was human last year. You know, they took some L's to the Cleveland Browns, beat them last year. So why can't the Jets beat the 49ers on September 9th to open up the season in primetime with the whole world watching? 888-808-1019. I don't think we're doing enough conversation around the team in New York that should win more games. The team in New York that has way less question marks. The team in New York that's got the much better roster. The team in New York who was on Hard Knocks last year, not in season, but now without Hard Knocks here, they should have a better preseason training camp. And if they beat the 49ers, are they going to go to Tennessee and lose to the Titans? Mike Vrabel's out of there. Will Levis, it's his show. Are they going to lose to the Titans? I don't think they're going to lose to the Titans. I'm not sure what's going on in Titans camp. But I did see their starting guard just retire today. Sadiq Charles, 25 years old. He's been taking first team reps. Decides to hang it up. Football's a rough game. No Moss. I think that's 2-0. I think the Jets start 2-0. And then if you start 2-0 and you get rolling and you feel good about yourself, then you come home to a live crowd in Jet Life Stadium for another night game, September 19th at 8:15. And most likely it's going to be Jacoby Brissett quarterbacking the Patriots against the Jets. And you can definitely beat the Patriots, Gerard Mayo's first year on the job. You can definitely beat the Patriots and start 3-0. Zach Wilson. Remember him? Yeah, Zach Wilson, I thought, was third on the depth chart. A new depth chart just came out for the Denver Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett's old crew. Jared Stidham is their number one quarterback. Jared Stidham is QB1. Zach Wilson is QB2. Bo Nix is QB3. They're not going to win many games this year. They shouldn't beat the Jets. So that's back-to-back home games that the Jets should win. You're 4-0. And then Sam Darnold. Remember Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold, he's going to host the Jets out in Minnesota. The Jets should definitely be able to beat Sam Darnold. I don't care if Justin Jefferson is there. You got a guy named Sauce Gardner for that. And that would make the Jets start off the season 5-0 before you face Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills at home. 888-808-1019. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, there's one game, and it's the first game, and there's already some things going on with the Niners where you can't think that the Niners are just going to steamroll the Jets. If it's a close game and the Jets are able to steal that game, I think we're looking at October and the Jets starting off 5-0. Here we go. Now let's transition a little bit here. I was about to take a call, but I've got some guests lined up and I've got some other things. The Yankee game, obviously, gets rained out. It's supposed to rain tonight, tomorrow, Thursday. I don't know when they're playing these games. I'm not exactly sure how they plan on getting these games in. But we'll see. So tomorrow, you've got the 4:05 game. And then the game to follow to be Luis Gil, game one tomorrow. And Will Warren, come on down for game two as the 27th man tomorrow at Yankee Stadium. It's going to rain, though. I just don't see how we're playing two tomorrow. It's supposed to rain all through tonight, all through the next day. But whatever. Help is on the way. I was watching some clips from Max Goodman and Chris Kirschner, Clark Schmidt facing Carlos Narvaez, facing John Birdie. John Birdie is on the mend. Clark Schmidt is on the mend. I know it might not make you feel like, yeah, here we go. But I think, you know, these things factored into why moves weren't made at the deadline beyond JCJ, Mark Leiter Jr., and Eniel De Los Santos. Because there are guys coming back. And I think these 2 days off are good. Let these guys rest, reset a little bit here, get some time off to be with their families. I mean, they gave Verdugo the day off Sunday. Verdugo's got 3 days off. Will he be in the lineup? I don't know. And speaking of the lineup, I want to see the Yankees get to a consistent lineup. I want to see them get some type of consistency. I think it's needed. But now they also have to play this game with Aaron Judge being intentionally walked and how to combat that, how to stop that. Now, Austin Wells has been the Yankees' best cleanup hitter, but I think you got to put more of a threat there. It's a copycat league. The Blue Jays did it. The Mets did it. And you're going to face some teams coming up that have nothing to lose and no reason to pitch to Judge, where they're just going to be throwing the four up and walking them. You got to figure out how to, you know, put either Juan Soto there, move Judge up to two, or I don't know. I don't have the answer. But Aaron Boone did have an answer. He was with the Talking Yanks guys last night. I'm going to get that audio and play it. Also, Jose Trevino could begin a rehab assignment as early as Sunday. They said John Birdie is about to be running full speed, 2 weeks away from starting his rehab. Anthony Rizzo has been hitting, but no timetable for his return. But guys are coming back. Guys are getting healthy. I think these rain days are good. Don't call and say, oh, how come they don't have a dome over Yankee Stadium? We've done that a bunch of times. It is what it is. We need the rain, honestly. It's been super hot and humid and dry. And now we had rain on Friday's game that pushed it back to 8:30. We had rain on Sunday's game that was a two-hour rain delay. And now we have a postponement. It is what it is. But that's my open 15 minutes in. I have guests coming up. I have calls coming up. And this is going to be a wide-open show. Obviously, we don't have any Yankee games to react to. We do have a Mets game coming up at 8:40 as they open the series against the Colorado Rockies. I want to talk football, though, and I know we're going to talk about fights and practice, but I did that last night. How much can we talk about grown men fighting each other with helmets on? I think it's the dumbest thing when you see guys swinging at each other with helmets on. It's, I don't know, a quick way to hurt your hand. But, yeah, we'll talk about Malik Nabers. is this good or bad that Malik Nabers is so combative? I know he's a dog, but like they got to get that under control. I know it's just practice, and we're making a lot about practice. He can't do that in games. You can't lose your number one wide receiver throwing punches in games, letting guys get to his head. So it's good that they're working that out now. It's funny because we've already proclaimed him to be the greatest wide receiver in Giants history. He's already better than Odell Beckham Jr., who went to the same university. He reminded me of Odell Beckham Jr. throwing punches. Right? Remember Odell and Josh Newman back in the day? Yeah.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle. Touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer. As a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
As the sun sets over New York City, the bat signal shines for the dark nighttime host, Keith McPherson on The Fan. I like doing that. I just think it's funny with that beat. 888-808-1019. Let's take your calls. Let's have a good time. First up is Danny in Paramus. Danny, you're on The Fan. Danny, you've been on hold since I started to open. Come on, bro.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thanks for taking my call.
Go for it.
All right, before I get to Nabers, I want to address your Jets prediction from earlier. Knowing the Jets and how things work out for them, don't you just kind of have like a sick feeling in the back of your mind that Darnold and Zach Wilson just like unleash the greatest revenge game of all time?
I don't have that feeling at all. Did you watch those guys play? No, I don't think they're very good. Zach Wilson's not going to get on the field. And Sam Darnold, I think, is just as mid of a quarterback as you could get. They just defaulted into that. They drafted J.J. McCarthy, wasted that pick. I don't expect the Jets' defense to struggle with those guys. And I know we're always LOL Jets, same old Jets, but it's got to change at some point. Like, this is it. After the disaster of last year, Aaron Rodgers is healthy. This is it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not a Jets hater, so I hope it works out for them.
But you're a Giants fan. I could smell it on you. Giants fans don't believe it's ever going to be good for the Jets.
But, yeah, I agree. But to your point before, like, I just wanted to talk about Nabers and his antics today. And I agree with you. Like, it's good to see guys fired up because the Giants have been a doormat for way too long. I like to see them protect their home turf. But what Nabers did was really uncalled for. You know, like if someone talks trash, talk trash back. If someone hits you, you can defend yourself. But I saw him get absolutely cuffed on that play, and I saw his temper take over.
Yep.
And when I saw that, I could not get over how much it reminded me of OBJ.
Me too. And, I'm like,
yeah.
You gotta get that under control now in camp, in practice.
I couldn't agree more. We can't let another generational talent, which I think this guy can be, but if he doesn't get his temper under control, much like I saw a lot that OBJ didn't in his tenure here, it's just going to be an embarrassment, and I'm going to be really upset with it.
Thanks for the call, Danny. Yeah, I'll say this. Like, when you get drafted top 10, you know, you come through, you're coming out of LSU as one of the best receivers. Some say the best receiver to ever come out of LSU. You're kind of feeling yourself, smelling yourself a little bit. I think he does a great job in the media, right? Not giving the media anything. The media wants to sing his praises, and he's more like, you know, I got more work to do. The media wants to ask what's going on, what's being said in between the lines, and he's just like, you know, I'm not going to repeat that. But listen, man, everything is on camera. We all saw that. You got to chill. You got to chill. Okay, here we go. I said I had a New York Yankee joining me on The Fan. We've got him on the line. Let's see. Is he there? Hold on.
Yes, sir.
Oswaldo Cabrera on The Fan in New York. It happened.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm so happy to be here.
Yo, first off, dude, you're the best. Just your personality and the way you carry yourself. You always have a smile on from the first day you came up to the big leagues. These are the things that I say about you on the radio. I say you are clutch. I say you play with a flair, and you always add a spark. And when the game gets stagnant or quiet and you need somebody to do something, here comes Oswaldo to hit a home run or make a play. And you know what? Tonight, I was part of the Stay Ready group. The game got postponed. I had to stay ready in case I had to host a five-hour show. You're also in that group. You got to stay ready in case your number is called on. And we called your number tonight. So thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for saying all those things that mean so much for me.
So let's promote your camp first before I ask you any questions about the Yankees, about the season, about baseball, because that's the most important, man. I love seeing you with the kids. You've gone down to my area where I grew up, Asbury Park, New Jersey. I know you're connected with Frank and those guys. But now you're doing this Oswaldo Cabrera end of summer camp, Flowers Park, New Rochelle, coming up on August 19th and 20th. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about what the kids can expect from those 2 days.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I'm work with Brandon Estena. He's one of the biggest mentor that I have from the moment that I went to the big leagues here with the New York Yankees. So we was talking about me, him, and Justin, one of the guys that he is doing a really nice job with the MLB and with the camps outside of baseball with the kids. And yeah, just we had a conversation like, okay, I want to do something with kids. I want to do some like big things with kids, you know, like just to teach them a couple things that I probably can teach them. And no, it's not just like teach. It's just a moment like, so the kids just remember for life, you know, like one moment that the kids weren't having. Because when I was a kid, obviously in my town in Venezuela, Henry Blanco, one of the biggest catchers in Venezuela, and he's from my town. And the moment that I saw him doing things like this, that got in my mind all the time. And that's something that I really want to do for the kids too. You know, like they grow up with that moment in their life.
Yeah, it's something that they'll never forget. I talk a lot about fandom and how when we're kids, you know, just a little thing like seeing yourself, also seeing Jose Trevino, who will be a guest on August 20th at your camp, like that goes so far for these young kids to see pro ball players in their town, in their area, to get to connect with you guys, learn the game from you guys. That makes them fans of the Yankees forever and baseball fans forever, and then maybe they can turn into pros themselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's the goal. Like, if we can teach something or give it some advice that they can get in their mind, you know, something that we want to do. And obviously, like, have fun is the most important thing over there in the camp. Is the thing that I say for Brandon and Justin. Like, I want to do this camp, but I want to the kids really have fun in all these things.
So this is through Just In Time Baseball. Where can people sign up? Where can people get more info? Online, or where should I send the folks that are listening right now that want to pull up to Flowers Park in New Rochelle August 19th, August 20th?
Yes, sir. So the info is in the Instagram of the Justin Time. He's the guy who is promoting all those things. And by the way, in the Instagram of Brandon Steiner and Collectible Exchange is the info over there of everything about the camp, all the things that we are planning to do. The guest that is Jose Trevino and all the info is over there. So Just In Time and Collectible Exchange in Instagram.
Shout out to Brandon Steiner. So it's justintimebaseball.com, JustintimeBaseball.com, justintimebaseball.com. It'll be Oswaldo Cabrera, Jose Trevino, August 20th, August 19th in New Rochelle, New York at Flowers Park. My guy Brandon Steiner helping to set it up. And you got to, you know, if you're in that area, you got to try and get your kids there. Get your kids to one of the days at least so they can come meet these guys and get some good instruction as well. Now, Oswaldo, let's talk about this, man. I mean, it's a rain out today, but Friday, right, that first game of the Blue Jays series was a rain delayed game. And yes, I know you guys were sitting around for a little while. And then when the game got started, you got called upon. You had to come in and replace Gleyber Torres. What was that like for you as a stay ready guy, as a guy that's just waiting for his number to be called? Aaron Boone said he didn't want to ambush you, but what were you thinking in the moment?
Sir, so that's a really nice question, because obviously it's not easy. Or as a player, we want to play at the time. If it's not, obviously all the schedule is like tough. And when rain delays happen, we are just like hanging there, just waiting for the time. But if I'm not starting, I try to be the most ready possible to, if something happens, obviously we don't want to something bad happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a game, it's a baseball. So in my mind, I used to stay ready all the time. I can't do anything else because I'm in the bench, you know? So I have used to support my teammates and at the same time, just to stay ready, stay warm, and just wait for the call and do whatever they need. You know, that's in my mind all the time. Like, I have to do whatever the manager want me to do.
Here's another question. This one's more for the Mets fans listening. So, obviously, Carlos Mendoza was the bench coach last year, and you're familiar with Mendy. Mendy is now the manager of the Mets. And what I've said was, I remember last year, how close he was with the Latin players. And I remember specifically with Miggy and his, 3,000 hits, and you guys seeing Miguel Cabrera, how instrumental Carlos Mendoza was with making sure you guys got time with him. Can you speak to us a little bit about how cool Carlos Mendoza is and how it was to be coached by him and be around him?
Yeah, so Carlos Mendoza, I know him since I signed with the Yankees, because he was the infield coach of the minor league system. And man, in my heart, I got a lot of appreciation for that guy. All the things that he teach me, all the patience and the way that he teach all the guys in the complex, and even more when I get to the big leagues and he saw me there, I know he feel proud about it. And for more reason, because he was part of my development in the minor league system. So when he saw me in minor leagues, I know he was like a big mentor for me about everything about baseball. He always talk to me with the truth, with the honesty, with the things that happen in the game, with the things that I have to get better, with the things that I've been doing better, and just try to get more better on those things. So for that reason, I have to appreciate so much for Carlos Mendoza.
Awesome. Last thing for you. We're on the phone right now with Oswaldo Cabrera from the New York Yankees. I'm a bleacher creature, and I think you have one of the best responses to the roll call. I say it's a grenade. Is that what you're doing? Like throwing a grenade into the bleachers? tell us exactly what that is.
Yeah, it's a grenade, but now with fire. It's a grenade with the energy, with all the love and all the things that I try to bring to the game.
Yes.
And, like that explosion that I always try to do in the game. So
I think it's perfect. That's you're the spark plug. You play with a flair. There it is.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that.
Oswaldo, you're the man. I won't take any more time from you. Again, he is hosting a camp, Flowers Park, New Rochelle, August 19th and 20th. Go to justintimebaseball.com. It's run by Collectible Exchange and Brandon Steiner. You can meet Oswaldo there. You can meet Jose Trevino there. And it's all for the kids. Get the kids involved. Oswaldo, you're the man. Go rest up. We'll see you at Yankee Stadium.
Thank you. Have a great night. And thank you for everything.
No problem. 888-808-1019. I love that guy, like straight up. I'm rooting for him to get playing time. It's obviously tough now with Jazz Chisholm here. It's obviously tough now. DJ is hitting better, and Gleyber Torres survived the trade deadline. But that young man, in the beginning of this Yankee season, when the Yankees were rolling, he came up big. And his athleticism, his clutch, in that Red Sox series, he came up big. And then even Friday when his number got called, hey, Gleyber's not hustling, we're going to pull him from the game, he was ready to go. And, he's a bench player, but he's a utility player. You've seen this guy play six different positions, and he's got the right values. When I first saw that he went to Asbury Park, New Jersey, I'm like, this guy does not have to go to the Shore area for any reason. There's no reason. But he went down there to connect with kids that can't get up to New York to see him, can't get up to Yankee Stadium. That's where I'm from. I would have loved that as a kid growing up in the area to see a New York Yankee. And he continues to do things like that. And now he's got his own baseball camp. So the Oswaldo Cabrera end of summer camp in New Rochelle at Flowers Park, August 18th and 19th. If you're in that area and you want to get your kid involved, justintimebaseball.com. Just look up Oswaldo Cabrera Camp on Google, and the information will pop up. Okay. 888-808-1019. I do still want to get into the conversation around the Jets and week one. I do want to talk about what's coming out of training camp. But Antoine Staley will join me for more of the Jets conversation at 8:15. Antoine covers the Jets. He's been covering the Jets. He's been at practice, so he has all of the insight. If you Jets fans want to wait until that conversation happens, we can do that. I see Yankee fans want to talk about the Yankees bullpen and the Yankees lineup and the guys coming back. And when is Jason Dominguez going to land here? We're definitely going to do that. And like I said, with Malik Nabers and the Giants, I think having some fight, showing some fight is good. But back-to-back days, after a memo was put out, hey, we're not going to leave the benches. You know, you're trying to get work done. You're trying to get work done against an opponent. It's good for one day, but when you see a guy take a cheap shot the second day, it's like, okay, that's something to be concerned about. Got to reel him in and make sure this doesn't become a problem going forward. But, hey, like I said, I like the fact that the Giants didn't let the Lions come in there as a team that was this close to going to the Super Bowl last year. They're not letting them come into their building, into their facility, and push them around. And right now, I really do feel like you have guys on the Giants that are trying to assert themselves as the alphas. Daniel Jones getting into the mix. Daniel Jones proving that he's the quarterback of this team and that they're not replacing him and he's going to fight for his job. Malik Nabers, obviously, as a rookie. Brian Burns as a new addition, who I keep telling you guys, this guy's a problem. He was a problem in college. He was a problem with the Panthers, but the Panthers are nothing. I just think you put him on a defensive line with Dexter Lawrence, another guy who's already an alpha. They're going to be trouble. I don't know who you double team there. I don't know who you block. Pick your poison. We'll get to that. Now the Jets fans are rolling in. I could take a couple calls before I go to break. Let's talk to Glick in Marlboro, New Jersey. Glick, you're on the fan.
What is up, my man?
You know, taking calls, bringing in New York Yankees, bringing in some reporters, and people like yourself.
Right on. Listen, I almost drove up the side of the road when I heard you. Did you say the Jets were going to start 5-0?
Why can't they?
Listen, I'm a Jets fan since 1971. I want to give my dad a shout out to making my life a living hell. So I've never achieved, I've never seen glory. I was just born too late. But every Jet fan out there, you got to know one thing. You never go in optimistic. You got to go in pessimistic. Wait. They're going to get blown out by this Frisco. Wait. They're going to get blown out
in
that second
game. Did you not hear all the things that I was saying about why they could potentially beat the 49ers week one and then the schedule softens up?
Oh, I hear you. But have you seen the Jets? Have you watched them play when you got to go to opening day, every year and watch? You go in with high expectations. White showing up, and then next thing you know, Aaron Rodgers goes down on one play.
Yeah,
you can't even go out there and throw that out there. You got to go in pessimistic. Don't even try to get our hopes up.
All right, Glick from Marlboro. That's not the vibe. That's not the energy. Check me out, like. If this season doesn't go the way that I just predicted, right? If they don't start 5-0 and they do get blown out and they struggle, go ahead and fire Rob Saleh week five. The difference here is Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I was there a couple years back. I always reference being there opening day, Jets versus Patriots, where Zach Wilson threw three interceptions in his first like four or five attempts. The game was over. In the parking lot, which is up for debate, who has a better tailgate. I kind of think the Jets tailgate better in that parking lot than the Giants. Maybe it's because when I go to the Giants game, it's 40% Dallas Cowboys fans. When I go to the Jets game, it's mostly Jets fans, and they run that parking lot. But I remember being there, and I remember how fired up fans were doing the J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets chant. And then as soon as you saw Zach Wilson try and play quarterback, it took the life out of the building. They passed out those white towels. Everybody's standing up, waving the towels. After a couple interceptions, it's like, this kid's not ready to play. Those days are done. Zach Wilson's not on the team. okay? I get the trauma, the PTSD. I get the pessimism. But this is the time for optimism. Everybody is 0-0. Let's go to John in Hackensack. Maybe he feels a little differently, or maybe he feels the same.
Hey, Glick, I mean, I'm feeling the same exact way, man. I mean, it's hard to be a little optimistic. I see the Jets starting 4-1. I want to talk about the injuries from San Fran and the holdouts and all this stuff. I mean, CMC with the calf, you never want to see a player get hurt, but missing someone like him is big for a big game like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we got Ayuk holding out, which is, we're most probably going to get traded, so. My hopes keep going up and up and up, and I know my heart's going to
break. Trent Williams is holding out. He's arguably, you know, one of the best players on their team in the NFL. Like, they just signed Matt Breida. Matt Breida, who was with the Giants, they just signed Matt Breida for, I don't know, insurance in case McCaffrey's not ready to go. He's no threat at all. The Giants fans will tell you that.
And speaking of the Giants, man, Neighbors could be a generational talent. I mean, these fights and this temper, I know that, I don't know if you watch Hard Knocks, but I'm guessing you did.
Of course.
Abel asking about that. I mean, I didn't realize how much of a deal it was. It seems like it's starting early. And again, not a Giants hater. All my friends are Giants fans, so hoping they can figure that out.
I think they will. Thanks for the call, John. Again, with Malik Nabers, he's a dog. You didn't see him and him and Jaden Daniels last year, nobody really checked them. Like, they had their way. That's why they put up the numbers they did. Those two guys were alphas. That's why you get drafted where you, even his pro day, I'm like, this guy is NFL ready. But he's still a rookie. He's going to struggle. He's still a rookie. He's going to have a learning curve. We're talking about practice, not the games yet. We're talking about practice. We're talking about iPhone videos from practice. Do I think this kid is good? Yeah. But we just had a Jets fan say he can be a generational talent. I mean, we got Tommy coming on talking about I'm a generational talent. Now everybody's a generational talent. How do we break up generations? Was it 20 years? Millennials? Gen Z? I got to Google. Alex, look that up. Everybody's a generational talent now. Like, listen, the wide receiver is only as good as the guy throwing him the ball. He can only be as effective as Daniel Jones makes him. Daniel Jones has to get him the ball. I said last night they could target him 10 times a game and he could have 2 catches. We got to pump our brakes a little bit. Nobody knows. My whole thing last night was chill. We're so quick to make these proclamations. The Mets season is over. The Yankees are dead. The Yankees are back. Wait, the Mets are back. Generational talent. Future of the fan. Like, everybody live in the moment, please. My guy Mario out in Long Beach on the fan again.
What's going on? Nice to get you at a regular. I guess you dropped in because of the rain out, I guess.
Yeah, you know, a little rain out, switcheroo. I'm ready to go. Stay ready so you don't got to get ready.
Exactly. Well, then, what was your normal time if the Yankees played? You were going to go to start at midnight? Or you going to start at 9 or something?
What you trying to say, bro? Like, I come on after the Yankee post game, whatever time it is.
Exactly. but anyway, forget about that. Let me get to my point. It's really funny, like you were saying, because you make sense in everything you say. Sometimes people say crazy things. Like, there was one guy, I think it was, it wasn't Lugie, it was Moresh. He was saying, if I had to pick, I love Neighbors so much that the only two players I'd pick over him is Chase Young and the Cheetah. And the Cheetah and Jefferson. Otherwise, I'd pick him over any.
No, you mean Jamar Chase? Like the
Jamar right, Chase.
I was going to say Chase
Jamar
Young.
Chase Young's with the Niners. The guy hasn't even caught a pass in the NFL yet.
That's what I'm saying. We got to stop. And I'll say this, Mario. If you're seeing him and I'm seeing him and we're talking about him on the radio, everybody in the NFL is aware. I just saw him pop up on ESPN SportsCenter. People are aware, and you know what? They have schemes for that. They have corners for that. They have safeties for that. There are people that are saying, okay, yeah, I like the fight you got, young man. I can't wait to see you.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, he's got the potential, but it's only potential. You know, let's see if it turns into... Hey, remember when they got Tony? Everybody said Tony was going to be great, and they're getting ready.
Yeah, they told me Tommy DeVito was the future. Like, everybody chill out, bro. Like, everybody, can we get to kickoff? Can we get to opening week? Like, can we get to week one before we proclaim that this guy is the next coming of Jerry Rice?
And listen, the Vegas odds are Giants 6.5 wins, Jets 9.5 wins. And that's really
what I just was saying, right? Like, we need to talk more about the Jets. I think the Jets are the team in town that can be the playoff team, that can be competitive, that have the better roster, that have the talent, the chip on their shoulder, and have the schedule that, like, if they get past the 49ers in week one, man, they're off to the races.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, the Giants, I mean, I was looking at PFS, Pro Football Focus. That's a pretty reputable organization, right? I mean, they're pretty highly regarded, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
So they had the roster, you know, who's got the best rosters. The Jets were rated number 4. You know where the Giants were?
Maybe 30?
30 rosters,
yeah,
you know?
Maybe.
And then they had a quarterback on the Madden, at least. Jones wasn't even in the first 31. So, I mean, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. Maybe it'll play good.
I just think this is
a good number.
This is what happens. That's why somebody needs to come on the radio and say, like, wait, what are we doing? Like, we're taking practice clips and proclaiming these guys to be all pro.
Exactly. Pump the brakes. And a lot of times it's because, you know, I guess because you have favoritism. Some people, like Tiki, likes to push the Giants. You know, you said 9-10 wins this year.
Understandable.
Yeah, I would understand. But I think you have, and you do this very, very well, better than anybody. Even if you have a team you like, you got to be realistic. You can't come up with numbers that make no sense at all.
No, because this is the NFL. There's a lot of ifs. If this happens, if Daniel Jones stays protected, you already have issues with your offensive line. This is a brand new offensive line. We don't know how cohesive they're going to be. This is a new defensive coordinator, a new O-line coach. You have new coaches. Weren't we just talking about the Giants last year? Hey, Brian Daboll's a hothead. His temper, it's not going to work. Wink Martindale, look at how Wink Martindale, like, that just evaporated because Daboll lost 50 pounds?
No, he is who he is, you know?
All of these things have to work together on Sunday. All of these things have to come together on Sunday. Malik Nabers can look like a dog and throw punches and make great plays in practice. It is a different animal when that ball gets kicked in the air at 1 o'clock or 4:25 on Sunday, and you're playing against actual NFL corners, safeties, and you have guys scheming against you to stop you. What if the whole plan is they don't have Saquon? This is the most explosive player they have. Don't let him beat us. Well, Wandale Robinson better be ready to go. Jalen Hyatt better be ready to go. Devin Singletary better be ready to go. And is Daniel Jones going to be running the football off that ACL? Is Daniel Jones just going to turn into a pure pocket passer now?
I don't know if he's going to make that. Thanks for taking my call. Very good points. I appreciate it. Appreciate your input.
Thanks for the call, Mario. I'm just trying to reel people in. I mean, I get it that this is the time to be like, hold on. I watched Hard Knocks. Joe Shane came off very likable. The identity of this team is Shane and Daboll. Saquon, who? You're dead to me. Ooh, Malik Nabers. Best wide receiver I've ever seen. Oh, Daniel Jones is cleared? Well, fool me, can't fool me again. You guys don't even like Daniel Jones. Andrew out in Shirley on the fan. What's up, man?
Oh, I love Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
all right,
now
and I'll
you
paint
do.
A picture for
yeah,
you.
Now you do.
Oh, no. I have been day zero for Daniel Jones, but let's not get into that. I'll paint you a picture of how the Giants had that successful season that all us optimistic fans are saying we possibly could have. If we start off, and it's very, very plausible, this, whether you think we're good, bad, or in between, it's very plausible to start off 2-1 with the beginning of that schedule. Let's say we lose to the Browns, beat Vikings, beat Commanders. Nothing of what I just said there sounds impossible. The thing that we hardly ever do when we start a season is start strong. We never start well. We always start in a hole, and we have to battle out of it. In the New York media, we get torn to pieces, right? The last time we started positively with a win over the Titans, what ended up happening? We ended up riding that positivity, playing for each other. The coach is the greatest, all that stuff, and we went to the playoffs. Now, let me paint a picture from a talent perspective. That defense, the more and more I look at it, obviously secondary is what you would consider the whole. I think that that defensive line, Burns being a part of the issue, takes pressure off that secondary. And honestly, I like my safeties. I like the safety that we drafted. And I love this kid, Andrew Phillips. And when you look at the offense, you look at what Neighbors doing, you're right. You can go scheme for Neighbors. But that opens up the playbook for Hyatt, which didn't exist last year. That opens up the playbook for Wandell Robinson that didn't exist last year. And I'm sorry that I do have to assume that four brand new offensive linemen, a new offensive line coach, it's got to mean something. And the second-year center, it's got to mean something where we're not going to have a historically bad offensive line.
Your second-year center's not practicing. Evan Neal that you smoked a top 10 pick on is not like he's in street clothes. Yeah, adding a John Runyon, a Van Roden, a Luminor, good that you have some actual NFL-caliber guys there. But the thing about that line is they have to work in conjunction. They have to be ready to go. Together. This is their first year playing together. It's not just going to click week one.
I agree. But Keith, let me ask something. Let's say I say, you know what, you're right. To think that they're going to be top 15, top 16, top 19 offensive line is...
We're losing you. I expect them to be better than the offensive line you had last year. And, I mean, it might be the best offensive line that Daniel Jones has played behind. But this is the NFL. Man, all these teams are good. You guys are sleeping on the Commanders. Go check their roster. I did this weeks ago. Go check who they added. And now we're hearing a lot about Jaden Daniels, who you wanted. Maybe if everybody wasn't Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito, we found our quarterback. He's from Cedar Grove, right around the corner. Here's our guy. If he didn't win those games against the Commanders, the Patriots, the Packers, maybe you could have drafted Jaden Daniels. 888-808-1019. Instead, you'll have to face him for the next however many years. And he's the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's like that. And if they protect him, they have weapons at receiver, running back. They added Austin Eckler. They added Bobby Wagner. They drafted well. Like, you can't just count on, we always beat the Commanders. There's a lot of different things in motion here with the Giants. I don't think enough time was spent on the new coaches, the new additions, and how quickly they have to gel. And Daniel Jones, he has been throwing the hell out of the ball in practice. It's practice. It's got to transfer to the game. Malik Neighbors is only as good as Daniel Jones can be getting him the ball. And practice is not like the game.